Welcome everyone to the 21st Annual Wise Traditions Conference. This is absolutely amazing, and we are so thankful that you took the time to come out. Welcome to those of you who are watching through live stream. We know it's hard to get away, and yet you're with us in spirit, and we're so, so glad you are. So as we kick off, I just have a few little announcements, mostly for the people in the room here. The new etiquette is to put your phone on airplane mode. We're very aware now of the harmful effects of non-native electromagnetic frequencies and radiation, so we're just trying to lower that level, especially for those who are highly sensitive. So putting your phone on airplane mode helps you and helps those around you, so thank you. The next thing is, if you are a nurse or acupuncturist, you can get continuing education credits by being here. All you have to do is go to the registration desk and they will help you fill out the forms and get your information, and you do have to sign in every morning to get those credits, so make sure to do that. Also, there are 65 exhibitors, and they are not just selling their products, they are a wealth of valuable information. So please make your way to the exhibit hall during some of the breaks. You're going to come away with some magnificent things that are going to empower you to take your health into your own hands. Finally, David has been gracious enough to say that he will take questions at the end, but so that the people at home can hear your questions, and so David can hear it too, we're going to invite you to use the microphone on the stand in the middle of the room, so you can come up to that toward the end to ask your questions. And so it is my privilege to introduce David Martin. I want to tell you that he is a businessman, a professor, an author, a storyteller, inventor, and more. David is helping us put the humanity back into what it means to be a human. He really has a sense of that what we see on the surface is not really the problem. The secret to his success globally has been the wobble effect, and today he's going to talk to us about what's happening in the big picture with the coronavirus conspiracy. One little fact I want to tell you that you may not know about him is that he was once a chorister and a songwriter and composer. So, you might ask him to sing a song in the hallway. But in the meantime, please give a warm welcome to David Martin.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. My life flows on in endless song. Above earth's lamentation, I hear the rill, though far off, hymn that hails the new creation. No storm can shake my inmost calm. Well, to that rock I'm clinging, since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can we keep from singing? Hey. Norma, where are you? So Norma came up to me yesterday and did something which will only mean something to very few of us in the room. She came up and said, I want to play the Mennonite game. Now, most of you don't know what that means. If you live in Minnesota or in Wisconsin, you do, because Minnesotans all do it A, and Canadians all do it A. The Mennonite game is where you try to figure out how distant you are from somebody that somebody knows, and it's a thing. So 1732, my ancestor David Martin first came to the United States. His father, Christian Martin, was in prison as a heretic, and he got on a ship. He was indentured on the ship Molly, came to the port of Philadelphia, found the son of William Penn, and got the land grant for the very first land grant given to a Martin in the United States. And that land grant is still occupied by my family to this day in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. So when I talk about an America, I'm talking about an America that David Martin set foot on. before there was a conversation about a whole bunch of the things that we're going to talk about today. But I think it's important to acknowledge the fact that when Norma came up and asked me, you know, let's play the Mennonite game, and then it was the who did you know and where did you know and everything else, I mentioned the fact that I sang in Leamington, Ontario, at the giant Mennonite church in Leamington, Ontario. It's a mega church, massive church. And I sang there in 1984. And she said, well, this is going to be weird, kind of, but I have a Mennonite hymnal. Now, she has it in her possession, so she can hold it up. It's actually, it's, ah, ah. Isn't that a bummer when you actually are all the way ready to do a thing and then the prop goes away? Norma's still here. That's what matters. She had a Mennonite hymnal, and she said, well, I and my mother, since we can't be together, sing together, and we're singing our way through all the Mennonite hymn books. And so she asked me this morning if I would sign my favorite hymn, which is how the conversation of me as a chorister came up, because I used to direct music in church, and I used to direct music at school, and I used to write music. And so I figured, why wouldn't we sing to start, right? That sounds like a good idea. And the reason I like to do that is because it sets a frequency. And this, for me, is actually really important. I think we have to drop into a frequency that first accesses our humanity before we talk about things that actually could rob us of our humanity, because if we don't have a grounding point to that rock I'm clinging, what's the rock you're clinging to? If you're not clinging to a rock, then it's pretty easy to get tossed around. And before we get into the tossed around bit, which we will get into, I figured we should at least acknowledge that there's rocks that we can hold on to. And Norma, thank you for bringing that part of my life back. I don't usually start a speech with a song, but there you go. I couldn't resist because Hilda came up and said, what's something people don't know about you? And now you know something that most people don't know about me.